Representative Matt Clayman, what do you have currently in your priority list during session this year?
Well, I think we have really three priorities. Highest and most important is to come up with a budget that's really responsible for Alaska and that addresses the concerns and recognizes the financial challenges that we've been facing for the last several years, and that we move forward in a way that's good for Alaska and supportive of what we are hearing from the public, that we need a responsible action plan for Alaska to address those challenges. A second area that's always really high right after addressing the financial challenges is continuing to work to improve public safety. And that's really has been a multi-year effort. I actually think that if you go back to the first days of statehood, we were challenged with how do we most effectively address public safety and improve public safety and use our criminal justice dollars and our corrections dollars as wisely as possible. That's an ongoing effort. And I think the third area that I really work on is trying to find ways to have government be more efficient and have the role of government in our society make more sense to the public.
When it comes to the budget, do you think that there has been any progress made or any difference from last year, this session?
I think what we're really waiting to see in the House is that last year, as you know, we passed four pillars of a responsible action plan for Alaska. The first part is responsible budget cuts and finding efficiencies. The second is restructuring the permanent fund to use a portion of those earnings to support government while also maintaining up a dividend. The third was restructuring the oil and gas taxes so that Alaska gets its fair share. The last is new revenue. And so the House adopted all four pillars of that responsible action plan. And the Senate has looked at different parts, but really has never voted up a comprehensive solution. And so I think we're waiting to see whether the Senate's going to make any steps on a comprehensive solution. By the end of a budget being approved, all we've done is essentially what you would call an unstructured draw from the permanent fund. We're using savings, not from the permanent fund, but we are using savings to fund government, and we haven't come up with a long-term plan. And if you look at the last 3 years when there was a need to address it each of those years and nothing was done, history would suggest that the odds aren't super favorable that'll happen this year either.
What other priorities do you have in this session besides the budget? I mean, in particular, I know that you and Chuck Kopp are sponsoring this bill for, I believe it's class 4 misdemeanors for hospital workers.
That actually is a good question, because an example of three different bills that I'm working on, and they touch on different areas. The first, of course, is the workplace protection bill that's very focused on hospitals and medical care facilities and people who work there, where there's been an increased incidence of assaults in those places, particularly in emergency rooms. And this was really brought to our attention from the public. The hospital association and the nurses and the emergency room doctors all came to us and said, we've got challenges. We know that government can't solve all the challenges, but we need your help, and we'd like to look at modifications to the statute to strengthen our efforts to make a safer workplace. And so that's an example of putting public safety and improving public safety always at the top of my list. And I looked at that and said, okay, how can we make improvements and come up with ways to strengthen a hospital's position and police options in terms of dealing with people that are committing misdemeanor assaults in emergency rooms? A felony assault, they don't need any changes because the provisions for felony assault, they could arrest without a warrant already. So that's not an issue that we needed to try to address. And so I actually went to Representative Kopp, and we sat down and really worked through the issue and figured out what is a really sensible way to move forward where we can improve public safety, improve the workplace for folks working in medical care facilities, and at the same time recognize that changing the law alone won't fix everything. There's a lot of challenges, and particularly with substance abuse issues and behavioral issues in emergency rooms, that changing the law is a step, but it doesn't solve the whole problem. So that's a bill that I work carefully with Representative Kopp, and that'll be on the floor tomorrow, and I'm optimistic that it'll have broad support from both sides of the aisle. A second bill that I've been working to get on the floor here in the next few weeks is a bill that would expand the insurance coverage for prescription contraceptives from 3 months, which is what's required under the Obamacare legislation, to 12-month prescriptions. It doesn't increase what birth control and contraception is covered. It just means that the period of a prescription, if a doctor writes that, would cover it for 12 months instead of 3 months, which is actually becomes very important in terms of access to contraception. And then the real interesting part after we started working on the bill, because we introduced it last year, was we've really learned that there's a issue of contraceptive coercion, and individuals who try to use control of access to contraception as part of controlling relationships, and it's become a real issue in domestic violence. And it turns out domestic violence shelters report that a high percentage of folks that come into the shelters, that contraceptive coercion is a regular issue. And so in terms of what can we do more to prevent domestic violence, it turns out improving access to contraception helps people avoid some of these controlling and abusive situations that is part of the domestic violence cycle. And of course, we have the worst domestic violence levels in Alaska. So this, again, this ties both into health care and reasonable access to health care across Alaska. That's part of it, but it also really becomes part of the public safety in preventing domestic violence. So again, this is a bill that hopefully will be on the House floor in the near future. Been working on that since last year. And then a third, just in terms of helping the state function better, I've got a bill called Marriage Solemnization. It involves who can actually perform wedding ceremonies. And what we did was we added elected officials that can perform a wedding without having to make the people getting married to go down to the courthouse and get a license for a day. So if the bill passes the House and the Senate, then it would mean that the mayor of Anchorage or the mayor of Wasilla, if somebody called them up and said, are you available on Saturday? Could you perform our wedding ceremony? And they could say, yes, of course. Then they would just need to bring the paperwork for the elected official to sign. Judges have, of course, been doing this for a long time. Ministers have done it. But in our community, more and more people sometimes want somebody other than religious figures to perform weddings. And so this was an effort to try to expand the people that were available to perform weddings and not have so much red tape. And then in the process of working the bill through the legislature in the House, it became really important for folks that want to protect their religious liberties that they have the ability to decline to perform a ceremony for whatever reason. And so the bill actually makes it clear that a person that can perform a wedding, with the exception of judges, people in the court system, that's their job to do the weddings, and they don't get to say, well, I don't feel like performing the wedding on this particular day. The people that have a right to be married can go in front of a judge and be married, but this would allow anyone except the judges to decline for any reason they chose, and that there would be no problem with people doing that. And as a result of finding that compromise and that place where there was common ground where everyone could agree that an elected official could perform the ceremony but couldn't be forced to perform the ceremony, we actually got a large number of people from, I think, hopefully both sides of the aisle that will again support that legislation. So those are three examples of ways in which working to protect public safety, working to improve what we're doing in criminal justice dollars, but also improve how the state functions for the people that are dealing with it. That has been part of my ongoing efforts.
I definitely want to get into some of the other legislation that you brought up, but I'd be curious because there's this sense that there's a lot of partisan discord and that people can't get along. I'm curious, why did Chuck Kopp stand out to you as someone to go to for this bill in particular?
One of the things that I've always done, and I worked hard to do this when I served on the Anchorage Assembly back in, starting in 2007, it was something I worked at when I was acting mayor of Anchorage. I always try to reach out to people of different perspectives, and specifically with regard to the workplace protection for folks in medical facilities. I've been working with Representative Kopp on the Judiciary Committee, and I've really seen that he's somebody that really looks at first and foremost what's best for Alaska, where is their common ground, where can we find kind of that sweet spot, if you will, where we can all agree. Let's take out the stuff on which we might not agree, find where do we have common ground, and then move that forward, especially when we know that common ground is right for Alaska. And so I think on the work on the Judiciary Committee, I probably speak with Representative Kopp several times a week about different matters before the committee, and we talk about those things. And for example, there's a bill coming up in the Judiciary Committee about securing loads on trucks, and it's been brought to our attention because of a family in Seattle that their daughter was severely injured and actually survived a horrific accident when a load fell off a truck and hit her in the head, and she had massive brain injuries but somehow managed to survive the accident. And there's some questions about that bill that came up in the Transportation Committee. And so the next committee is the Judiciary Committee, and so we have a reputation in judiciary of figuring out problems and figuring out solutions. And so Representative Kopp and I are also on the Transportation Committee. So after we heard the bill in the Transportation Committee, we talked about it a little bit after one of the hearings, and I said, well, we better sit down and work on this before we get it into the Judiciary Committee so we can figure out what's a path that both you and I can agree is a sensible way to approach the legal challenge that bill raised. I've been working well with Senator McKinnon as vice chair on our sexual harassment subcommittee with Ledge Council to figure out a common path to where we can really be on the same page and moving forward with recommending a new policy for the legislature. And that's just what I try to do every day.
When it comes to recommending a new policy, what are some things that you value going forward dealing with sexual harassment training?
The concern we have with the committee is not so much the training, but the policy. We want a policy and a procedure so that people that work in the Capitol that may be victimized or otherwise challenged in their workplace environment because of how other people may be behaving, we want those folks to have a very easily understood policy that gives them a way to deal with concerns that may arise in the workplace, because protecting our employees is our first priority. And so we've looked at that, trying to make a procedure and a policy that is easy to understand and easy to follow, that will give people assurances that if they have complaints, that they will be addressed effectively. In a policy, you can't say what will be in the training, but hopefully now that part of the policy is going to be mandatory training every year, I think that over time, you'll see a gradual improvement of the workplace atmosphere here in the Capitol.
And I'm curious on the bill that you mentioned where elected officials can marry. Have you been asked to marry someone, and are you going to do that in the future?
Well, right now they'd have to get a license. No one has asked me to marry them, but it struck me that when you've seen some of the arguments that have gone on in other states about trying to force one person to marry somebody, or you know, can the courts require a certain person to perform a marriage or not perform a marriage? Marriage should be one of the happiest days of anyone's life. And I always thought if you have somebody in the community that you respect, and hopefully elected officials are well respected, one of the ways that they can provide a service to the people in their district is to perform things like weddings that are memorable days and that people can be happy about.
And then a question that I like to ask everybody is, if you could control how the world remembers you, how do you want your legacy to look?
I think more than anything, I remember what Justice Thurgood Marshall, they said what he had said. That's that he did what he could with what he had. And if there was any one legacy I would want it, I would want people to say that he did what he could with what he had. And I would add to that specifically here in the legislature that I was somebody that did what I could to find common ground to bring people together and move Alaska forward. And that I was somebody that in doing what I could with what I had, I was always looking for ways to avoid the kind of partisan contentiousness that I think the public is really frustrated with. I think they're frustrated with it on a national level and oftentimes on a local level, and they really want to see us come together. And that would be my most valued legacy, is if people look back and said that Matt Clayman really was somebody that worked to find common ground and bring people together, and he made a difference.
I really love that, especially the idea of bringing people together, because you obviously have had to bring people together in order to get to where you're sitting today. And I'm just curious to know the story of how you got from Matt Clayman citizen to Matt Clayman representative.
Well, I think there's a part of all of us that people ask, what are you going to do when you grow up? And so I think in my younger days, I certainly spent a lot of time thinking about what were the things that interested me, what were the things that I got up in the morning and I would think about. And I often joke that some of the people that should be engineers are folks that drive down the street and see bridges and they start thinking about what's the mathematical calculation of the arch on the bridge so the bridge stays up and it doesn't flop down. And those are the folks that are really captivated by that kind of thinking, that that's who you want to be, the engineers. And I discovered that I was really consistently very, very interested in public policy and the choices that we make to try to function better as a society of people that live together and live near one another, and how do we live in these communities so that we are behaving well and getting along well and feel like we're working well together. And I discovered that that was something I woke up daily and was very passionate about, and that ultimately led me to go to law school. And then I thought it would be interesting and worth trying to be more involved in the public process, not just as staffing somebody, but actually be the elected official. And that's just been a path that I've followed now for several years, to look for ways to be involved. And I've served on a lot of nonprofit boards, which was one way to contribute to the community. And then as our kids got older, I got more interested in possibly running for public office. And so I've done that, and sometimes with success and a couple of times without success, and continuing to, again, work to bring people together.
Is there anything that you want to add before we wrap it up?
The only thing I would note is that I think that everyone here in the Capitol, we're really engaged in a common endeavor, and that common endeavor is to do better for Alaska. And the fact that we may not agree on how to do that doesn't mean that we don't share a common goal, which is to have our state work better. And I do think even those that I may disagree with heartily on different issues, I think that I am confident in saying that everyone that is serving here in the legislature really is working to do what's best for Alaska. And I look forward to continue to working with the folks here in Juneau.